This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora tātou and welcome along to another episode of Aratoi On Air, where me and my colleague Amy Tawa talk to creative practitioners, movers and shakers in Otiputi. Just the one conversation on this week's episode, and it's with the 2025 West Harbour Arts Charitable Trust Artist in Residence, Beau Cotton. I have a little chat with Beau about what we can expect from the residency and what his plans are working alongside the tamariki of Port Chalmers School, Pūrākaunui School, Port Chalmers Kindergarten and the Pioneers Kōpūtai ECE. Thanks, Beau, for your time. Here it is. Kia ora tātou, welcome along to Aratoi On Air. I'm your host, Sean Norling, and today I'm joined by the wonderful Beau Cotton, 2025 West Harbour Artist in Residence. Ngai te rangi. For 2 weeks in November, Beau's going to be working alongside the tamariki of Port Chalmers School, Pūrākaunui School, Port Chalmers Kindergarten and Kōpūtai ECE to consider the questions, what makes something valuable? Or can something be special just because? Maybe we'll find out a little bit about that today. Kia ora and welcome to the show, Beau. Really nice to have you.
Kia ora, everybody. Thank you very much for having me on. Thank you for inviting me.
Congratulations on being appointed the West Harbour Artist in Residence this year. I know they've run a wonderful program, and the things they're doing out there, Westside, are such beautiful things for the tamariki to participate in. How did that come about? Are you a resident of Port Chalmers?
I am a resident of Port Chalmers, so I've kind of been living out there for about 7 years now, and I moved out there with my two very good friends, and just I kind of had no idea what Port Chalmers was going to be like before I got there, but I was kind of like, when I did get there, I realized very quickly, I was kind of like, wow, this is kind of like maritime vibes, this is a working port, there's a little bit of busyness, it's got that old world vibe, and it's just, it's got a little bit of, I think anyone who's been out there will kind of agree that it's just got a little bit of magic, really.
Where did you come from before that?
I've got quite a few places that I've so born on Waiheke, left Waiheke Island when I was 16 to go live in Australia. From Australia in my 20s, moved to London and lived in London for 5 years, came back to New Zealand, realized that I wanted to nurture my creative side, basically, and get into the arts. It was time to sort of engage in that. So went back to where my iwi is from, Tauranga, and basically did Polytech there. And then I completed my degree in Hamilton in 2013. So I've just recently done the Toi Maruata course at the Wānanga here in Otiputi, and that was, yeah, that was just a mind-blowing experience, actually. Very, very cool for a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of Māori out there who are connected, but there are a lot who are disconnected for certain reasons. We all have our own stories sort of thing, and for me it's just, yeah, through a few friends who went on the course prior to me, they basically said, yeah, you need to, yeah, you should really look at doing that. They weren't evangelical about it or anything. They were just kind of, hey, we've just done this thing and it's helped us, and it's a thing that's there for you. It's free. It's, you know, and
beautiful, Beau, and I'm really happy that you're on that kind of journey. That's really special and really nice.
Yeah, and it doesn't really sort of matter what age or where you're at in life. It's just the Wānanga have kind of made it their mission to make that accessible for all of us who live here in Aotearoa, and that's just a beautiful course that you can, engage Incredible. Indigenous arts or te reo.
Yep. Incredible. Shout out to Wānanga.
Yeah.
You studied fashion design along the way.
In London.
Just let me say, your sense of fashion is incredible.
Thank you.
Last time I saw you, you were in a kind of beautiful black, almost monk-like garb. Very nicely dressed. Apologies, I should have put my good threads on today.
You look very dapper. It's not sure.
It's not a visual format we're on here, Bo.
But just from what my eyes are soaking up right now, I can tell you it is a deep forest of
great band. Yeah, 1990s.
Totally, it's of beautiful greens, Pōnamu, and yeah, no, you look lovely.
Kia ora. You've moved from things like fashion design into what is quite a remarkable practice in jewellery, where I sense there's a really strong kaupapa of sustainability, found object, you know, and naturally by extension of that, a respect for te taiao, nature, the environment. Can you speak to that a little bit? Because that's not something that enters into jewellery as often as I wish it would. Mm. And jewellery is commonly associated with the luxe, the fine metals, the expensive, the bling bling, the diamond necklace. I think your way of incorporating found object in particular is really powerful and yet beautiful. Speak to that to me a little
bit. Yeah. I started with fashion, realized that I'm just kind of not cut out for fashion as well. So that was a little bit of a fail. And then I went to art, and then I became an artist, primarily a sculptor.
Mm.
And then from that, after being a sculptor for about 10 years, that just kind of died for me. And then recently, as of the past 4 years, I've just kind of crossed over into jewellery from sculpture. So my sculpture practice, it also involved things like found object, the natural world, things that I collect along the way in my life, things that I just find interesting, like we all do. We all kind of have our own collection processes of things that we just, you know, whether it be bottle tops or, like, you know, if you're a collector of shoes, if you're a collector of, you know, whatever it is that we collect. Really, I'm a finder from an early age. I've just always found things and reworked them. As a child, I used to make myself little weapons out of, like, and they were, it was because of the cartoons I watched. They all had, you know, my heroes all had, like, things to protect them.
Were you a bow and arrow guy?
Well, yeah, kind of. Just, no, I was actually, I really wanted a bullwhip. So I actually kind of, like, from a young age, I, for some reason, collected lead and I collected ropes.
Mm.
And I just don't know why. You know, it's, I really loved the weight of lead at the time. Mm. And then that kind of, like, led to me building this little collection, and then ropes and, just little things like that, and then smushing them together, and then kind of, like, making something elevated out of essentially just what I have around me, kind of thing. Yeah. And also growing up with a father who himself, he was a merchant seaman, and so his love of ropes and things like that. Out on the ocean, rope has a million different uses, you know, and merchant seamen, use it to save lives. They use it to make things stronger. They use it to, you know, so in our house, the door handle of our fridge fell off, and my dad replaced it with a beautiful knot called a monkey fist. And I had a pretty unique looking fridge.
That's
growing
so
up.
Cool.
Yeah, so it speaks to, so my jewelry practice speaks to that DIY nature that we in New Zealand very uniquely kind of are able to run with in our lives, of kind of, like, don't throw that thing away. It's not done yet. It's, you know, keep going. But also, my jewellery practice now speaks to also my fashion sensibilities, my love of history, the history of objects, and just what people are into. I also love blingy things too. I'm not afraid of the bling.
Well, look, I saw a piece of yours online recently. It was like a nylon rope kind of thing with a collection of pearls. Which looked incredibly luxe, incredibly high fashion. And then I read the description, something along the lines of sourcing pearls from op
shops,
and
the rope from the coastline or something, you know?
Yeah, so those pearls over a two-year period, I kind of realized, being just the tinkerer that I am, while op shopping, that a lot of people throw pearls away accidentally, and so they make their way to op shops. And so I trained myself to figure out the real from the fake.
It's a good skill to have.
That's right. And I quickly figured out as well that if I just kind of accumulated slowly, that I could have quite I could keep building my collections up and actually use pearls as a medium, as a particular shade or a color, basically, within my kete of tools, because pearls are just so, they're kind of one of the finest things on our earth. And then, of course, you know what a pearl is. It's an irritant within a mollusk, and you know, that's another corridor in itself. And it kind of, it makes this beautiful thing that we as humans revere and have revered for, I'm just going to say, for a long time.
Yeah.
And I kind of figured out that I could use these beautiful beads and incorporate them in my practice as a beautiful material, and then fusing it with things that I find and things that I find precious and things that, I want to say something about. And again, rope, it's sort of like it whakapapas back to my childhood, growing up around them and growing up with seeing my dad using them in a million ways for lots of different things.
There's a real sense of authenticity, or anyone that's kind of looked at art for a long time, sometimes it leaves you scratching your head a little bit, but I don't get that feeling from your work. I'm just kind of really impressed by the way in which the materials marry together, impressed by the fact that the materials are sourced in such a kind of lovely way, but impressed by the marriage of those materials and just the deep sense that the materials themselves have been on journeys, that the materials themselves tell stories.
Like, that's it. It's like the rope. It was probably, used to hold a dinghy to the shoreline, or it was possibly from a tugboat. It was, who knows, but it's this kind of plastic that holds its form. And of course, from the ocean as well, it's like all materials from the ocean, they just arrive to us beautifully rolled and softened. And it's that very kind of, it's a sensual experience being on the beach, actually. Everyone finds things at the beach, whether you're an artist or not. It's like we've all got our own relationship there. And of course, also with the pearls as well, they've lived on, whose necks have they lived on? Whose company have they been in? How old are they?
Incredible, incredible stories, aren't they?
Yeah. So the works are quietly very, very charged, actually.
I think so too. And you've shown in a bunch of places now. I saw you picked up a Molly Morpeth Award. Was that last year, Bo?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
The Robinson Law Highly Commended Prize at the 2025 Molly Morpeth Canada Awards.
Contemporary
New Zealand art.
My work that I submitted was called The Necklace, and so it was based on, in Port Chalmers, like there's lots of dinghies, and I was just looking at all the dinghies kind of like tied to posts out there, and I saw like all of this beautiful kelp that forms on ropes. And I thought, I would like to make a work that kind of symbolizes that in a way, and tying in with the rope. This time I used a chain, because a chain would hold the volume of material that I wanted to actually attach to it, which the necklace was, it was about 4 kgs heavy.
Wow.
So absolutely laden with black French jet beads, which they're a cut glass. Everybody's grandmothers would have had a French jet necklace at some point. But again, I've amassed all of these materials from op shops and just finding them and taking them apart. And then I mixed the black jet with bull kelp or remurapa from around the peninsula here and Aramoana that I spent about 1 year devising how to make bull kelp wearable because it's just such a beautiful otherworldly substance and it's...
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, we've all got a little relationship there again with bull kelp living here in the South Island and it's...
Special stuff.
It is, yeah. So...
And maybe that was you getting your bull whip dinner thing out of the way too. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, totally. Mm. Something. It all circles back somehow in the end. But it's yeah.
You're a facilitator at Studio 2.
I am.
I guess this thing coming up with the West Harbour Arts Charitable Trust and your mahi at Studio 2 kind of speak to each other in a little bit.
Yes. Yeah.
Just in the fact that you are happy to teach, pass on, work with and collaborate with other people in your creative practice.
Yeah. I didn't really make that connection, but thank you for making that. Yeah, no, totally. That goes hand in hand. Studio 2, I've been there for about a year and a half now. That place is just, incredible in terms of the artists who are there. I think there's nearly 60 to 80 artists there.
Did really well recently at the IHC Art Awards,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah. Picked up a scholarship. Yeah.
I'm so proud
for
them.
Three of the artists.
Yeah.
Cherie, Crystal and Leslie. Big congratulations to them.
Yeah.
And working at Studio 2 is just such an incredible, it's an experience that goes both ways in terms of they teach me. It's so invaluable and how they work as artists. Everyone there is just so automatic and pure in how they respond to materials and art. That rubs off onto me.
That's so special, isn't it? When you think about how... stuffy fine arts practice can be sometimes to have that kind of unfettered, unbridled joy of creation to be in an environment where people are just naturally in almost like a flow state. I think is wonderful.
It's a state that I think a lot of artists are really, we give ourselves all these rules and parameters and then kind of eventually want to break them down and kind of be pure again, and it's they've just got this really, really beautiful way of working. And so I'll be doing this the residency where I'll be working with children from the age of 1 to 13, I think.
Yep.
And that's quite a different thing. I haven't worked with children before. Yeah, I mean, I'm a child in my brain and I always want to be a child in my brain. I never want to, I mean that as a compliment. And so, it will just be really, really cool to see how they respond to finding things, which is what I want them to do.
What's the general plan of attack there?
Yeah. So the idea that I would love to engage with the kids is based on my own practice and just how I work. I was kind of thinking, what could I do? And then it was kind of like, well, that's simple. It's just kids are amazing at finding things. All people are amazing at finding things when they're out with family, when they're out in nature, when they're with their friends, whatever. We all pick things and collect things. So I'd love to sort of start them off, each kid with a little pouch that I make for them. And they're going to customize their pouches and they are then going to be just given a few little guidelines. There's no real guidelines. It's just go out and collect things if you can, find them and bring them back. And we'll all talk about them. We'll all have a moment with these things that we all find. And then after that, I'd like them to then elevate those things by being able to wear them. So applying those things to become a wearable thing, basically. So I'm just really, really interested in actually what the kids are, what they are going to come back with.
What a wonderful idea. And, I'm sure the kids will really treasure what they come up with, and there's a piece of them in their creations that I just think is so lovely and such a wonderful idea.
Well, they can't not be, hey? It's like them. It's what they find.
It's a reflection of them, yeah.
Yeah, and it's their experience. And, you know, that might be, realistically, some people don't do that, you know. Some people are just kind of like, you want me to find things, like, you know. So I'm kind of like, I have that lens on as well, where it's kind of like, you know, that might be a tall ask for some people. But it's kind of like, it's just what I would like to share with them, I suppose.
That sounds so wonderful, Bo. And is there an exhibition or anything off the back of it?
Yes. So there will be a little parade. And the dates will be on the social media of the West Harbour Arts.
Yeah, we'll find those. I'll dig those out and put those details out at some point.
Yeah. So there'll be a little showing on the day where we'll have it's a parade and a carnival, but it will also be held at my friend's gallery out there, which is a gallery that is to be, it's coming, it's to be confirmed.
I'm so excited to see that, and I'm so stoked to be having this conversation with you today.
Yeah,
Bo Cotton, your West Harbour Artist in Residence for 2025. Thank you so much for your time, Iho. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll talk again soon. Kia ora. Thank you for tuning to Aratoi On Air. We'll be back next fortnight. Until then, if you want to check out some of the work that Aratoi is involved with, you can find us on Instagram using the handle Aratoi Otiputi, and that's our handle on Facebook as well. If you're keen to listen to past episodes of Aratoi On Air, head along to oar.org.nz, click on their shows and podcast tab, and you'll find us in there. Ka kite.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.